Oregon in the middle 20th century was a relatively easy place to get a career without much of a plan. In town after town, a person could graduate from high school and walk a short distance to a timber mill, where jobs that paid well were plentiful and lasted a working life. Those days are gone for most of Oregon. People have to work harder to get the skills and training they need for jobs. Even so, employers here and across the country talk about a skills gap between what they need and what workers have. This fall saw the arrival of the Oregon Talent Assessment, designed to assess workforce skills in a systematic way. We have two guests with us. Ben Cannon is the Executive Director of Oregon's Higher Education Coordinating Commission, often just called the HEC. Ben Cannon, thanks for joining us once again on The Exchange.
Good morning.
So that is the orderer. We have the person doing the work with us as well. John Tipona is the president of Econ Northwest, which prepared the Oregon Talent Assessment. John, thanks for joining us again.
Good morning.
Ben, let's start with you. I'm looking at the executive summary for the Oregon Talent Assessment. It seems like there's broad agreement that there is a skills gap, but it sounds like there's disagreement on what are the components.
You're right, there is broad agreement. And then there, I think what the report illustrates is that there are different dimensions to that gap. And John can talk a little bit about how perhaps how those have been defined. But we see, for example, that there are some specific occupations that have trouble finding workers who are prepared in the technical and occupational skills that are needed for that particular career. And then we also find that there are some cross-cutting skills shortfalls that many employers are looking for, that many of which are clustered in the area of sort of soft skills, interpersonal skills, communications, motivation, dependability, time management, leadership. So it's a complex question, right? And I think part of what the report does is help us better understand and get somewhat more nuanced when we're facing this, when we're hearing about this broad issue of lack of preparation for the workforce. There are more specific dimensions to it that the report helps tease out.
And the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, can we assume, is connected because this is the kind of thing that higher education would address?
Well, exactly. The report came about as a result of legislation that passed in 2017 that directed our commission and the State Workforce Board that our agency also supports to identify what employers need and what they're not finding when it comes to skilled employees who are ready for the jobs that they're hiring for. And that bill, I think, reflected a public and legislative desire to ensure that our education and training systems are meeting the needs of employers and meeting the needs of future employees who are looking for high-wage jobs.
All right, so the Higher Education Coordinating Commission hired Econ Northwest and Program and Policy Insight to undertake the task. And so John Tipona, lay out what the instructions were to you.
Well, so the instructions were to give some voice to business and industry as to what their perspectives are on a variety of what I would call skill problems, and we tried to insert some definitions here to keep things straight. So we broke skill problems into three broad categories: skill gaps, skill shortages, and skill mismatches. And in skill gaps, we define that to be, you know, the education system largely is just not providing enough basic skill to the population. Maybe we aren't getting enough people out of high school and into colleges, et cetera. That would be a major skill gap. Skill shortages are a little bit more specific, and Ben alluded to those. So you don't have enough engineers, or you don't have enough welders, or you don't have enough people who are capable of working on production floors and manufacturing plants, much more specific in nature. And then skill mismatches might be you've got a lot of people with skills, but at this particular point in time, your local economy doesn't need those skills that they have, and that would be a skill mismatch. So to jump back very quickly to the top on this notion of a broad skill gap, what economists would look at to assess that would be the college wage premium. So how much more are those who are getting college degrees earning than those who have only a high school diploma or who have less than a high school diploma? And nationally and in Oregon, there was a huge increase in the college wage premium between 1980 and the early part of this century, which led to calls nationally and in Oregon for much more college-going access and completion. Oregon passed the 40-40-20 legislation, which called for 40% of Oregonians to have a bachelor's degree or better, 40% with some post-secondary credential, and then 20% with no less than a high school diploma.
Which does mean 100% of high school graduation, too, I want to point out.
That's what that implies, which increasingly is an economic imperative in this economy. You can see those who are going into the labor market without a high school diploma are really having a tough time. So that premium, one of the findings of this report, is that premium both nationally and in Oregon is still large, but it is slowed down in terms of its growth. And so that still signals we need to be we need to get higher levels of education, but we need to be ever more intentional and efficient in terms of how we're doing that, because that premium appears to have slowed down a little bit. It hasn't declined, but we need to get students into the system. We need to get them on the path to skill building, and we need to get them completing on time and efficiently, so they're not spending too much on that degree or credential.
So, does the slowing that you're talking about just indicate that that people should that they're just not getting as much of an increase over high school proficiency for their wages?
There, you know, over the course of the last 5 to 10 years, and economists are watching this carefully, it's basically saying that premium is holding at levels that we've seen from the last decade. It's just not getting bigger. So it's still very sizable, the difference, and it still certainly pays for individuals to invest in education and go beyond on high school. But we haven't seen continued growth there, and there are sort of competing theories as to why that is. Some would argue that businesses aren't investing in technology and R&D as much, so because they're not making those kinds of investments in technology in the ways they were in the late 1990s, there are less opportunities to engage with that technology and earn higher premiums. And then another argument is that maybe technology, artificial intelligence, robotics, et cetera, is starting to eat away at some of the earnings of college-educated individuals as well. So economists still sort of picking that apart and trying to understand what's going on.
We are talking about the Oregon Talent Assessment with John Tapona, the president of Econ Northwest, one of the organizations involved in preparing the talent assessment. Ben Cannon is with us as well, the executive director of the Oregon Higher Education Coordinating Commission, or HEC. You can join us at 800-838-3760 as we explore the skills gap in Oregon and what it means. You've already heard it broken into three distinct parts. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Part of what I'm hearing here, Ben Cannon, is that the kinds of things that employers want seems to shift a bit more often, or this is what I read in the report as well, which would indicate a greater need for flexibility at the higher education level then to be able to shift to provide the skills that the workers, that the work the employers need.
Yeah, I think that's one important takeaway. Employers are counting on our education and training systems to be nimble, flexible, responsive, and frankly more so than they traditionally are. And so we see our colleges and universities, both public and private, our training providers, increasingly looking for and creating training opportunities, whether it leads to a certificate that may be a 1-year, you know, short-term certificate, or a degree, 2-year or 4-year degree, but that are more flexible and more responsive to employer demands. I would also suggest, though, and you know, John may want to speak to this as well, that the report contains some interesting findings from employers about some of the skills associated with historically, in sort of broad-based, traditional, even liberal arts education, and the emphasis on human skills that can't be automated, or much more difficult to automate, related to, you know, interpersonal kinds of competencies, and I think that has implications for higher ed as well. So again, this is a complex topic, and there's not a single solution or a single direction that higher education and training in Oregon needs to head. If anything, it's a reminder that we at the post-secondary level require a diverse and varied system with a wide range of options for training pathways for Oregonians to prepare for careers.
Well, no, there is no one thing that magically improves everything. And in fact, there are 10 major points made in the executive summary of the Oregon Talent Assessment. John Tapona, I want to come into that area that Ben Cannon just broached for us, the idea of skills that don't involve math and tools that come up several times, the soft skills that humans can deliver and AI can't. What would those be?
Yeah, so, you know, if I had to have one headline for this report, I would say that humans have to become better humans. that is our comparative advantage relative to artificial intelligence and robotics and the like. As we looked at this report, you know, awful lot of concerns over the course of the next 10 to 15, 20 years, et cetera, that we're going to accelerate this age of technology and that more and more things are going to be, tasks are going to be done by automation. But we look back at a very insightful report that came out of Harvard last year that said, look, this isn't only a futuristic concern. This has been going on for the last several decades. And if you looked at the jobs that have grown and looked at the two broad tasks that are required for those, be it social skills or math skills, the jobs that have grown the most are those that required both of those, social skills and math skills. If you wanted to have a good shot at a job and you had to get rid of one of those two, get rid of your math skills and hold on to your social skills. What we have historically and going forward is that the job market is increasingly rewarding those who have uniquely human skills that technology can't take over, skills of negotiation, skills of persuasion, of interpretation, things like task trading within teams. If I've got a team of five people and I want to sit down and quickly figure out how we're going to get this task done, who is the best at what? Humans are very quick to be able to figure that out in a group of five people. Technology can't do that. So it is those soft skills. And we heard it also from the employers. When the employers answered surveys, they were saying, we need more critical thinking. We need more communication skills and writing skills. We want more motivated workers and more dependability. You know, eventually you did get to folks who said, yes, we want more spreadsheet work, et cetera. But the items that rose to the top, an awful lot of it had to do with soft skills or essential skills.
So let me see if we can get some time scales in here as well. I mean, do employers find that people have less of the problem solving and critical thinking skills than they used to have, or they just require them more?
We didn't do a survey sort of within the context of this project, but looking back at the literature, I think you see an awful lot of consistency of employers asking for those kinds of skills over time. I think it becomes ever more important as you go forward because a lot of the routine work that humans used to do. Think of bank tellers from the past. Bank tellers 30 years ago or 40 years ago, a big part of their job was literally just counting the money. Well, they don't count the money anymore. Machines do that for them. And so they have become relationship builders. We opened up branches all over the United States, and rather than be routinized money counters, they have become relationship managers with the community. Well, that is a much more social skill than it is a math or analytic skill.
We are talking about the Oregon Talent Assessment here on the Jefferson Exchange with John Tapona, the president of Econ Northwest, one of the organizations that performed the assessment. Ben Cannon is the executive director of the Oregon Higher Education Coordinating Commission, or HEC. And you can join the conversation on the exchange as we talk about the skills that employers need and the skills that employees need to develop if they want to be employees of those employers. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So as you look at at some of the findings we've talked about so far, Ben Cannon, is there a place to come back to the universities and the community colleges too and say, these are probably some of the things you want to be looking at in the years ahead?
Yeah, there are a number of implications for colleges and universities, and I think we're still teasing those out. But one thing I think the report underscores is the need for our colleges, universities, and training providers to do a better job of identifying the core competencies associated with their programs, with their degrees, with their certificates, and attempting to align those competencies, including some of the soft or essential skill-related or interpersonal competencies that John described, aligning those with employer needs, and being able to demonstrate both to students and employers the value proposition, if you will, associated with the degree, certificate, or training pathway. So I think that's an area that we can broadly agree that that education can do a better job at. It's not simple, of course. There's not a ready to go test that we can agree sort of quickly and easily measures all of these varied competencies in a robust and meaningful way. But there has been a lot of work in this space, and I would love to see our colleges and universities, in particular, doing a better job of building those competencies into their program, assessing them, and then publicizing them to prospective students, to their graduates, to employers.
John Tipona, as we talk about the wage premium for going to college slowing down over time, I wonder if you were able to assess within the workforce a sense of people that, like, well, why should I go to college and end up running up all this student debt when I'm not going to make that much more money than I would have otherwise? I mean, is it still, are you hearing any of that out there?
Well, yes, in no small part because the cost of college has gone up quite a bit over the course of the last 15 to 20 years. You also are at a point in the economic cycle where there are an awful lot of opportunities for work out there. We are at the, in the late innings of a very long economic expansion. If we keep going until the middle of next year, this will be the longest economic expansion since World War II nationally. So this is an unusual time to be asking that question. There's a lot of work opportunity out there, which is going to sort of pulls people out of school and into the work at that point in time. What I would say the imperative here is, and Ben has alluded to it, is that the universities and colleges have to design their pathways so that there's much more clarity at the very beginning of the educational process in terms of this is how long this is going to take. These are this is the path I'm going to head to. This is the amount of time that it's going to take for me to get there. And this is the kind of outcome I could expect in the labor force if I achieve that goal. We need to get more people in, and we need to get them out as efficiently as possible so they're not building up debt and or, in the worst case, dropping off with debt and no degree or credential to show for it.
Let's take a call here. We have John in Central Point on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Oregon Talent Assessment with John Tipona and Ben Cannon. Hi, John.
Yeah, I just have a comment to make. I was a manager for an electronics manufacturing firm in the called line maintenance equipment repair, and the biggest issue for me was when my supervisors, their decision making. So a night shift supervisor, I have a piece of equipment that goes down that's very important. I come in the morning, I said, well, who'd you put on it to fix it? Well, I had four guys working on that. Well, did you have so-and-so because he's the best at that piece of equipment? So decision making was extremely important, and of course communication skills. Can they communicate with the technicians that work for them? Can they communicate with production? And that went all the way down to the technicians. Can they communicate with the operators and to find out what's going on with the equipment and how to, what path they should take to repair it? So I don't know if artificial intelligence would ever take over that role in manufacturing.
Okay, thanks for that story, John. Appreciate that. And John Tipona, that would seem to buttress the point you were making about how humans need to be better humans. They need to do the things that humans do well.
No, if you could just take that quote, you could put it in the report. It was perfect. I mean that it aligns perfectly with what employers broadly were saying. There's one chart in the report that looks at this notion of critical thinking, which was the first part of the comment. And you know, there you have imagine you give somebody a task with seven steps in it, and they come across to step four, and it doesn't make sense to proceed down the list of seven because you've got a problem there. What are you going to do? Who are you going to talk to? How are you going to proceed, et cetera? That decision-making and critical thinking skill is something that employers were, it just rose to the very top of the list. And that comes through experience, some of it in colleges and universities, but also through apprenticeships and practice and on-the-job training, et cetera.
I was going to ask about apprenticeships and on-the-job training and things like that, because there's a perception, fair or not, that at one time employers took on more of the responsibility for getting their workers up to speed, and it seems to fall more on the employees now. Is that fair, John?
Yes. That is a national phenomenon. Joseph Fuller, Harvard Business School professor, came out as part of this process, came to Oregon back in May, and he made this very point that employers over time have become too reliant on what he would call the spot market for hiring or the spot market for talent. So rather than investing in their own employees, and/or apprenticeships and training, et cetera, they're trying to reach into the market and grab the perfect individual who's going to be ready almost instantaneously, and it doesn't work. They're underinvesting in their own employees. They're underinvesting in their partnerships with universities and colleges, and their supply chain for talent isn't working very well.
All right. That is a lot of things we're learning in the Oregon Talent Assessment. It's all available online, presented to the university presidents in Southern Oregon today, and we'll have them on the program tomorrow. And thanks for John Tipona at Econ Northwest for joining us, and Ben Cannon, the executive director of the Oregon Higher Education Coordinating Commission. Pleasure to have you both on the Jefferson Exchange.